How many times have you upgraded your computer in the last 20 years? For some parts of the federal government, the answer is zero. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Top technology CEOs are in D.C. today for the second White House Technology Summit. They'll focus on upgrades for the U.S. government's computer systems, which in some cases have a kind of Cold War charm to them. Some military computers still use floppy disks, and the IRS is using some software code from the 1950s. Amazon's Jeff Bezos, Apple's Tim Cook, Microsoft's Satya Nadella will be there. It's been 6 months since their last White House roundtable. Since then, the president has taken a number of uncomfortable positions for that industry, including curbing visas for foreign workers, as well as pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Marketplace's Adam Allington has more.
When President-elect Trump met with tech CEOs last December, there was a certain cautious optimism that they could get together on issues such as cybersecurity and job creation. Well, that was 6 months ago, before Trump tried to pass a travel ban on majority Muslim countries and ordered a review of visa policies for foreign workers.
Immigration visas certainly are going to be a big topic of discussion.
Tracy Chadwell is with 1843 Capital. She says Trump's immigration stance has been bad for business for a number of companies.
You know, Microsoft is the number one user of these visas, and Apple certainly has a tremendous amount as well.
But Nicole Ames of Twist IMC points out that most of these CEOs are still driven by the bottom line.
Even though it feels like these companies should be left-leaning, the truth is that they have a broad range of users.
After all, Republicans shop at Amazon and use Facebook too, so
they don't want to alienate heavy users on either side.
The meeting will be hosted by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Kushner is director of the new Office of American Innovation, which aims to bring technology solutions to government bureaucracy. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
Tucson, Arizona today could hit 113 degrees Fahrenheit. Needles, California, 122 degrees. This is not normal. Temperatures could reach as much as 30 degrees above average in some places, so the AC compressors are roaring away in the Southwest, straining the power grid. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more, starting with Phoenix.
Today should bring a high closer to 120, and with it,
probably another 20% increase in our customer energy needs.
Brad Albert is with APS, Arizona's largest electricity provider. To get that extra 20%, grid operators can ask utilities to postpone maintenance operations to keep all available power online. They can also issue flex alerts, asking customers to cut back on energy use. But will that be necessary? Energy consultant Bill Powers says meeting extremely high demand in California shouldn't be a problem.
We can handle any heat wave of any magnitude with this glut of generation that we have at this point in time.
That's because California has been letting utilities build more and more generators ever since the energy crisis of 2000 and 2001. That crisis happened, as you might recall, not because there wasn't enough power to go around, but because companies like Enron manipulated the markets. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Hi, David Brancaccio, stepping out of my anchorman role for a second. It is the final week of fundraising before our books close for the year. We're asking you to step up and help support us today so that we can continue the in-depth, independent economic coverage and innovation coverage and business coverage that you rely on. Any amount, even a small donation each month, really does count. We appreciate your support. Give today at marketplace.org/donate. For all of its massive coastline, its charming lakes, rivers, and streams, California has the fewest people who go fishing per capita. I'm talking recreational fishing, and the numbers are dwindling further. Fewer people are buying fishing licenses, meaning less money for the state's fish and wildlife agencies. So, in a bid to get hooks in, they're going to change the fishing license system, Andy Euler reports.
Jim Kraft and his 12-year-old son Tyler are packing up their fishing rods and tackle after a morning on Lopez Lake on California's central coast.
How often do we fish, Ty?
Not very often.
Not enough. This is the first time this year.
Each of their annual fishing licenses run $47.
And then we get to use it for 2 days and put it in your pocket, and then you don't use it for the rest of the year. So that's kind of the problem with amateurs like us.
The crafts don't get much value because if they buy a license in June, it runs out in December. This family, like a lot of Californians, goes camping and fishing in the summer, and they normally just pick up a license at a local marina. Kim Sylvester started working at the Lopez Lake Marina in 1999. She's the one who explains to people about the expiration dates.
It's always been that way. Everybody's complained about it because it's not reasonable.
This year, California voted on a change. State Senator Tom Berryhill wrote a bill to make a fishing license valid for 12 months from the time of purchase. So if you buy your license on Memorial Day weekend, it's valid until next year's holiday. The idea was convenience and to boost jobs in outdoor tourism, since more people will theoretically fish if the license is good for when they want to fish. Chuck Bonham is director of California Fish and Wildlife. He's not sold on the new law. He notes most states use the calendar year model. He expects the change will mean people will buy a license less often, and his department could lose money, including funds to breed more fish, to stock lakes and rivers.
Well, if we take a $30 to $40 million loss, we're going to have to reduce our hatchery production by 500,000, 800,000 fish a year that will have fewer to put out for the anglers.
His department's money also pays to clean up pollution and manage wildlife on state land. Nathan Garcia grew up on Lopez Lake and fishes whenever he can. He says he knows a lot of people who just roll the dice.
I know countless people that fish every day without a license.
That's exactly what Fish and Wildlife wants to avoid. By making fishing licenses valid summer to summer when most people go, more anglers are likely to fish within the law. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And you may like your airplanes with several aisles and headroom, but the most popular form of airliner from the airline's perspective are the smaller single-aisle ones. Today at the Paris Air Show, Boeing unveiled its latest contender, the 737 MAX 10, bigger but still pretty small. For $124 million, you can buy one, which is actually pretty cheap compared to the wide-body jets. Boeing could leave the show with orders for several hundred. Rival Airbus of Europe launched its A321neo 2 months ago, and it already has about 1,400 orders. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.